Welcome back, Discworld 2000. We're at our dealer's booth at the dealer's room in the Abbey of Mission Palms Hotel in Tempe, Arizona. I'm sitting here with wonderful young lady, Miss Zoe Sherwood, operates a publishing company here in the Valley called Be Uplifted Press. Zoe is also an author herself, and we're going to be talking just a little bit about this as we go along. Welcome, Zoe.
Hi, Don. Pleasure to be here.
Now, you've been publishing for a few years now, right?
Actually, we started publishing proper in November of 2008 with our first release, which was Kenton Emperor's Magic of Moments.
Awesome. Now, I also understand that you do a magazine as well, correct?
We also publish a magazine. It's distributed locally, and it's called Be Uplifted Magazine. It focuses on green, sustainable, economically responsible living, and arts and poetry.
Arts and poetry. Okay, cool. Tell us about your latest book that you're bringing out, your latest release.
Messengers from Eden, yes, thank you, Don. Messengers from Eden is a poetic journey. I've always written poetry to handle many situations in life, and this book became sort of a biography. It takes us from a preview I once had of a better life years ago through dealing with loss and love, growing to the peace of mind that I have today. It's available on Reader's Cubby on my website, zoesherwood.com. On beupliftedpress.com and on azpublishingservices.com, also
cool.
On Amazon.
Awesome. So you've been doing this for a long time. When did you discover writing, and then, of course, when were you first published?
I've always been writing, and I studied comparative literature in Germany. And I've been writing all along, and I published my first book last year in 2008 with the Uplifted Press, and then in 2009 with Canary.
Cool. Now, okay, so if you were to, you know, you've talked about poetry, you've talked about, what do you call it, comparative literature?
Yes, that's the discipline.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What is comparative literature?
Comparative literature just studies literature throughout the ages, themes that have been carried through since ancient times.
Looking at how each period of time has treated the various different themes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Okay. If you were to take and use, say, three words to describe your writing, what three words would you choose?
Oh, boy. Intuitive, analytic, compassionate.
Wow. Intuitive and the compassionate makes sense. What do you mean by analytic?
By analytic, I mean that since I mostly write nonfiction, I like to observe and analyze and then draw conclusions and then share those with my readers and apply a different paradigm and a different perspective.
So then, do you have a regular routine that you use to get into this?
Actually, yes, I do. I usually go for a walk, or I go someplace, or go for a drive, and I compose the work in my head, and then I go home, and it usually flows onto paper or the keyboard, almost word perfect, and I finish it in one sitting.
So then, what would you say then, if it flows this easily, or it sounds like it does, what do you think the most challenging aspect of writing is?
Oh, the most challenging aspect is keeping going and to find the time. Life happens, and we can get jostled out of the flow and out of the right frame of mind, and it's hard to get back into it. So that's why I grab a piece of paper or the laptop whenever I have a little bit of time or I'm in the right frame of time. I feel at peace, and because it may not always be that way. A lot of my poems in this upcoming book have been written just driving down the street or at a traffic light or in the passenger seat or at the park or a cafe or wherever.
Well, that's neat. What then would you say, clearly you enjoy what you do, what would you say is your most rewarding aspect of the writing that you do?
Oh, gosh. The most rewarding, I would say, is the faces of my friends when they read it. That's really really rewarding. And the feeling that I get when I read my own writing and I like it, because I'm my worst critic. And if I enjoy it, and mostly I don't remember where it came from or even writing it or how I came up with it, then it's usually good.
You already write poetry. You've got the magazine. Do you have a genre that you like to write in?
Yes, I do. I really like to write nonfiction and self-help. I believe that we all have a lot to share that might help other people. Other people on the internet to get through challenges in life and maybe get them through them quicker. And I do like political, socio-economical journalism a lot, and essays, and I do write those.
Cool. Is there a genre you'd like to stay away from that you would avoid?
Yes, Don, currently I stay away from fiction just because I draw from experience and my environment, and I like to analyze and see patterns and draw conclusions, and I think I can be more helpful to people by writing nonfiction right now. It's probably because I still have so many so-called real-life stories to tell that people can identify with that I'm not ready yet. Because fiction has helped me in reading it just as much as nonfiction, it's just a different medium. I believe we always teach, even when we entertain, so it's both very important. I've read so many novels, and I learned so much from them about life and about history and about writing. Since nonfiction is shorter, though, or at least in, written in smaller increments, and most of my work does pop into my head already completed, it lends itself to the way I work. I don't make up stories anymore, or right now, like I did when I was a kid, but I do prefer to put a different spin on things and apply different paradigms or fresh perspective and try to make sense of the world as
wow.
It is.
You talk about having, apparently being quite widely read, so do you have a group of authors who you've read that have really touched your experience and your life in ways that have been important as an author?
That's easy. Lewis Lapham, I really admire him, and I really aspire to write like him, and I'd really like to borrow his mind for just a day. And then, of course, the Brontes and Charlotte Bronte, and I'm really fascinated by the way that they lived in isolation. Of course, Jane Austen, what a writer. Simone de Beauvoir, one of my heroes, very passionate, detached and independent. And then I have a favorite mystery author, and her name, she writes under Elizabeth Peters, and I really want to thank her for countless hours of intelligent entertainment and education on so much history and on feminism also.
Wow. Is there a question or a comment or something you'd like to either ask or offer to one of these authors? Anything you've always wanted to say to them?
Most of them, I want to be like you, and like I said, I want to borrow your mind for a day.
That could be interesting. That could be real interesting on some
really
of them. So what did you do then to celebrate the publication of your first book?
I cried.
You cried?
I cried. It was just so touching. Really moving to do my first signing event here at Changing Hands. And we had 50 people and ran out of chairs like right in the first 5 minutes, and we sold all our books that day. It was a moving day, wonderful
awesome.
Celebration.
Okay. I'm going to shift gears for just a moment, and you know, you also run Be Uplifted Press as a publishing company here in the Valley, and I'm curious, how did this end up getting started, and what's the idea behind the pub?
That's an interesting question, Don. What happened was my friend passed away, and I decided I wanted to do something more meaningful with my life. And I was on a road trip at the time, and I saw this graffiti. And the graffiti was a heart, and it had "Be Uplifted" written across it. So I took a picture of it and made that the name of the company, and so the publishing press was born. And the idea really is to help people and to inspire them and to make a positive difference. And to be of service. We want to help people who read the books, but also our authors that we publish. We really want to publish writers and artists who otherwise would have trouble finding a publisher because it's such a small niche.
So a lot of the focus of the magazine that you mentioned earlier is about going green. Why do you think it's important that going green is a good idea?
Very important, very important. Very near and dear to my heart. I really believe the focus of the magazine is on the green movement, because as I grew up in Germany, we have very well-developed conscience when it comes to the environment, because Europe is so crowded that the issue is right in your face all the time. So I've always cared, and I wanted to do something to help the movement here. Going green is also important for the economy locally and globally. A lot of the poverty and suffering is caused by our exploiting the world's resources in a non-sustainable way, which hurts local economies and the farming individuals in other countries. And for us here, it's creating a new economy that's not only sustainable for the environment and renewable for our resources, but also sustains itself in terms of job growth, not decline, because it doesn't deplete our resources and it doesn't rely on import. So that's why the magazine's focuses on green and also the arts and education. Education because it leads to environmental and social economical responsibility. And we're also helping high school students get established as writers. And the arts, of course, because it documents, you know, they document our world, the environment, and dreams, and express, you know, hope for the future. Creativity in itself is really important in trying to improve the economy and the quality in our lives and for people in general.
So with both the magazine and inline, and you've got the publishing company online, and you're also a part of AZ Publishing, so what do you look for in an author?
I would say positive. We really look for thoughtfulness. We want authors who do want to make a difference through their art or their poetry or their writing. Creative self-expression. And what we're looking and what they have to say or to show is thoughtful, inquisitive, thought-provoking, original, and ultimately helping people move forward in a positive fashion.
What do you do in your free time? You've got a publishing company, a magazine, you're part of a larger publishing group, you're clearly quite busy. Do you even have any free time?
I do and I don't. Of course, obviously, I read, and that's, you know, part of my job, and I read a lot of manuscripts, but I also, obviously, in my free time, I read, and I write, I hike, I play with my dogs, but I read to my dogs, because usually, if they like something, it's usually good.
So, what is next for you?
Next for me, we're currently working on a collaborative effort with another publisher from Milwaukee, and so we're putting out a collaborative book that's called Affirmations for the Soul. So I'm very excited about that. It's so rewarding to co-create with somebody else. And I have 6 other authors to publish this fall. 2 of my own books, and then, of course, the magazine.
So where can we find you on the web?
At readerscubby.com, zoe-sherwood.com, at beupliftedpress.com, at azpublishingservices.com, and on Amazon.
Awesome. So we should be able to find you real easy. Thanks for being with us today, Zoe. It's been a pleasure. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Don. Pleasure's all mine.
Bye-bye.